What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Someone who does a really good job of debating folks, because, you know, on the streets, I'm just asking people questions. I'm not necessarily out there with all the information in my head, because they come up to me and they want to talk about everything in the world. Adam Mockler is the person I'm talking about. Adam, you are a better man than I am. Good to see you again, my friend. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Nice to see you as well. And I really enjoyed that segment you just played. I mean, you really cooked that guy. You really taught him.
Here's the thing, Adam. Like, you know, I think we've talked about this before, because you've been on the program. Like, I'm not trying to cook them. I'm just trying to inform people, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you end up doing so because, I mean, people think these guys are so tough. I find that these MAGA folks, they're so uninformed and they're paper tigers. The moment you start, and you don't have to, like, you know, go back. You don't have to, like, yell at them. You just have to present them with facts. And then they just start melting like the Wicked Witch of the West. It's kind of crazy.
You said it so well. It's fragility. It is pure fragility. And a lot of these people have never been pushed back on in their lives. I've been on TV with, like, older men, and I can tell these older men have never had somebody genuinely push back in this manner, and they get rattled. This is my topic right now, because I love talking about the double standards on air. Republicans and MAGA pundits can go on air week after week after week and aren't bound by any facts. They lie about the timelines. They're not bound by reality. They're not even bound by basic decorum. And then when I go and I try to debate them and push back in a hard way, like in an aggressive manner, they act like I'm the one breaking some sort of rules. They're the ones breaking the rules and the norms of reality and the truth. So we can't live in this double standard world where Republicans can lie in a top-down manner all of the time. And when we're the ones who push back and call out those lies, they act like we are stepping on some sort of norm. So yeah, it's very important to be pinning these people down, to be debating them, and to be showing and exposing that they don't really know anything.
Right on, my friend. But again, look, when you go on shows, you have an idea of the topics you're going to cover. You don't know exactly what people are going to, you know, say and what the comments will be. But when I'm out there on the street, as you are, as many people as you meet or see on the street will be, that's as many opinions as you can get, yeah, which is a whole myriad of everyone. And so sometimes you can't, like, all of these facts in your head, you can't keep them straight. But, you know, they've been rattling around in my head for so many years that I've forgotten probably more than I know now. But I think that's a difficult thing to do when you get out there, because you were doing it before me. When you get out there and you start talking to people, and then you realize, like, wow, this is why Donald Trump loves the poorly educated. Yep. And not because they're dumb people. It's because he keeps them what I'm going to coin as an information or a fact desert. You know, we have food deserts in this country. I think, yeah, we have an information and a fact desert, and Donald Trump exploits that in his supporters.
He absolutely does. It's interesting. I call it like a whack-a-mole of conspiracies when I'm going out and talking to the Trump supporters, because it's like every time you think you've swatted down one conspiracy, they'll pop up. They pop the little head up with another conspiracy that you're not expecting. So that's the problem that you run into when you're out on the field, compared to having some sort of script. You get prepped on the topics before, and they tell you what we're talking about on air. When you're out talking to people on the street, again, it's a game of whack-a-mole. You're going to hear everything from conspiracies that were spread by Alex Jones in 2012 to conspiracies that were spread by Donald Trump in 2025. It's pretty hard.
That's me texting you, by the way.
This is you, my bad. That was
That's me. You're like, Adam wants to talk about Iran, and I said, of course. And then as soon as I hit send, it pings. Yes, you can talk about Iran, but go on. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's basically it. I mean, the Iran topic is such a perfect microcosm of the split realities right now. If you still believe this administration, after they've lied to you about everything from the timeline of this war to the impetus of this war, then I'm sorry, you can't be changed at this point. But right now, we need to continue pushing back. We need to continue hammering home the fact that it's a failing war and the fact that Americans didn't vote for this.
You saw the Dave Rubin thing, right, about one thing that was made better. I just played it a minute ago. That was so embarrassing.
It's brutal. How are you, if you're talking politics all day on your show, the baseline expectation should be that you're able to at least defend Trump's policies. These people cannot defend Trump. By the way, the reason he had no answer is because there is no answer. There's no macroeconomic indicator that's better right now. It's like when I asked them, this is the question that got the blow up on CNN. I asked them, can you name one political concession we've gotten from Iran? Like, yeah, sure. We've sunk their Navy that was 55 years old. Sure.
That's not a political concession.
No, it's not. Like, sure. We've killed Khamenei and replaced him with his 36-year younger son. We killed the 86-year-old. Great. Have we
but who's the younger son who's actually more radical than the dad?
And the IRGC has more influence there. So people have been primed to understand that just because we're getting military victories in the Middle East doesn't actually mean we're getting political concessions. We killed Saddam Hussein, right? And everyone was celebrating. We killed Saddam. Bad guy's dead. That turned into years and years of a grinding counterinsurgency and like $1 trillion in debt. With Afghanistan, it was another $8 trillion in debt and two decades of a grinding counterinsurgency. So the point is, just because we get a military win and kill the bad guy doesn't mean we're translating that to political successes in any meaningful way. The enriched uranium is still underground in Iran. The scientists were scattered across the country. The blueprints of the facilities are in the clouds if we want to work with their framework and say that they're developing nukes, like if we want to even concede that. But I mean, we haven't gotten any closer to any of our objectives.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. All of that killing and everything that they're talking about, that destruction, that is actually not can be, but is actually worse, as I said to the folks there, for the Iranian people, worse for our safety here in the United States, worse for our standing in the world than if we had just kept what Barack Obama had in place or improved upon it, right? Then we wouldn't have so many, we wouldn't be inciting more violence in Iran to the Iranian people and the protesters there, because we are giving a distraction. The world is paying attention to something else, and the regime is killing more protesters, killing more people there. It is inspiring them. And then the world economy is tanking because of this. And I tell you this, Adam, Donald Trump, I believe, I don't know if there'll ever be a deal. I think it'll be some sort of, we'll just continue to creep and creep and creep. The strait will open up. Donald Trump won't get anything. And then he'll just hope people forget about it over time. That's how I feel. Something like that is going to happen.
Exactly. I can lay out, I think, the two pathways that this war ends. But what we should all find like really, really disgusting, especially disgusting, is obviously this entire war. But the fact that the impetus of this war was Trump claiming that he was going to help the Iranian people liberate themselves. Obviously, that was never true. But he was posting on social media, go liberate yourselves, go free yourselves. Which is good in theory. I have Iranian-American friends who are really hoping that the Iranian people rise up. But then that turned to Donald Trump threatening to literally genocide the Iranians. He said he was going to wipe out an entire civilization. That makes me incredibly disgusted. He doesn't care about liberating anybody. He threatened to kill all of them. Number two, there was a CSIS report saying that we've used 1/3 to 1/2 of our interceptor stockpiles and our precision missile stockpiles, meaning that we are rapidly losing a lot of these stockpiles that we relied on. We are weaker on the global stage.
Which makes us more vulnerable.
Yeah. More vulnerable. Yeah. So in the name of making America safer again, we basically opened ourselves up to other countries. Every missile that we use in this failed war is a missile that Russia doesn't have to worry about. China doesn't have to worry about if they want freedom of military action in the sense of Taiwan or anything. And for this, what have we gotten? Zero political concessions. The regime is more radical. The nuclear material is still there. The Strait of Hormuz is still closed. It's really despicable. And as a young dude, we've both grown up and watched I think for both of our entire lives, the United States has been at war in the Middle East in some sense. And we've been told that this will make us safer and happier, healthier. It never happens. It never manifests.
Adam, I need to ask you this. Do not compare me to you. You could be my son. Okay. How old are you? 20 something, right?
I'm 23, but you look a day above like 40, and like for your entire life, we've been messing around in the Middle East as well.
Oh my gosh, my entire life. Look, I've been around for a while. I'm a man of a certain age. Like I say, old people be knowing. And this has been happening since I've been on this earth and before I was on this earth. And when he said that Iran wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Okay, that's awful, but that's not new. That has been happening for decades. That is the reason, one of the main reasons that the Middle East is in turmoil right now.
Yeah.
Is because of that. And because that we haven't worked, we because there has been a lack of diplomacy from a lot of presidents, but more so from this president. I shouldn't say the lack of diplomacy, a lack of a concrete action. There's been diplomacy, and folks have tried. Donald Trump, I don't believe, is trying. I believe that this war is simply about Donald Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. And the other thing is that it's going to sound very controversial, but right now, I think people have a different idea and an understanding of Israel and Israel's role in all of this. And younger people like you, younger people who are on college campuses, younger people who are politically inclined and informed now, are getting that message out. And that is causing a whole other stir among the MAGA folks and the Zionists, the anti-Zionists, and all of that. And I think in many ways, Israel's being held accountable. Iran should be held accountable as well. All of them should be held accountable. Hezbollah, Hamas, all of that. But people have a different understanding, a different feeling about Israel right now. And I think that is playing into the equation.
Yeah. So I think it's a lot of it's really due to like this new independent media sphere as well. What you and I do is super important for this because a lot of the corporate media doesn't cover this in the same way. And now we have a more decentralized way to cover what is happening on the ground, either in Gaza or in the West Bank. I find it also disgusting that a lot of people in our politics can't even talk about the West Bank settlements. Even people within the Democratic Party are oftentimes unable to talk about an objectively horrific thing that we're doing. We're encroaching on the sovereignty of people, abusing them. Oftentimes, I mean, in Gaza, people are being obviously murdered en masse, but in the West Bank in particular, there is a disgusting encroachment of property. And a lot of people in American politics or in American media at the highest rings aren't really talking about it or acknowledging it. So now you and I collectively, I'm sure, pull like probably billions of views every single month. And we're able to talk about these issues in a much more precise and steady-handed manner. I think that when it comes to Israel's role in this war, all the reporting says that Bibi Netanyahu has been pitching this war to president after president after president, and Trump was the only one that was dumb enough to accept it. Apparently, Bibi Netanyahu pitched this as if it would be Venezuela part two, but Iran is not Venezuela. With Venezuela, you can just chop off the head and the rest of the body kind of fell in line. You know, Delcy Rodriguez and the rest of the Venezuelan regime, they fell in line. With Iran, you can't just chop off the head and expect the rest of the body to fall in line. The IRGC is a deeply embedded political force, and a lot of former IRGC members now work within the institutions of Iran. So they work at the banks, the political institutions. These are IRGC members who did horrific things. They have every single incentive not to give up their power. So the point is, Netanyahu definitely lied about this war. That doesn't take away agency from Donald Trump, but it does show that right now Netanyahu and Trump have different incentives. Netanyahu wants to keep this war going because he's like a wartime president who would go to jail. Trump wants to tone this war down. He wants to find an off-ramp. So I think look at the little thumbs up. So I think we're conflicting. I think there's a lot of conflicting stuff right here where Netanyahu is like, literally, you said it earlier, he's dog walking Trump, and Trump doesn't know how to find an off-ramp. It's absurd.
Yeah, and I love your. I used to have that on my thing, and I didn't know how to get rid of it. And every time I would do this, like I'd be talking about something serious, and then fireworks would go off. It's almost like the guy. Do you remember the guy over COVID who was the lawyer, and his son, I guess, had put like a dog head on him, and he showed up as a dog.
You ever have the?
Ping. Oh yeah, I have that. We've had the balloons. So Adam, here's what I want to. Can I play some things and then get your response to it? Okay. So let's see. We've been talking about Dave Rubin. Now Dave Rubin is a gay man, and here's Dave Rubin on gay marriage. Okay.
Really big fan. I've been watching you since like all the way back in the Sam Harris era.
Oh yeah.
And then I remember you
softening me up. Okay.
No, you brought on like Stephen Molyneux, like the white nationalist, and I was like, this guy just loves ideas. He just loves all different types of ideas. I love that. But yeah, just wanted to talk right now specifically about the difference between progressive values and the MAGA coalition.
Sure.
It seems to me that all of the ills that are attributed to wokeism are typically things that people find annoying. So people being overly you know, policey about their pronoun usage or talking about specific groups that might seem extremely marginalized. That's what I typically hear from the right. I don't hear like a degradation of like society unless it's the far theocratic right.
So it's funny, I get called a conservative all the time. I actually happen to be a liberal in the truest sense of liberal.
You should join the circle.
And well, progressives are not liberal as a general rule of thought. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I just feel like that type of like annoyance that wokeism presents to the world is a lot less dangerous than like, I don't know, the coalition that you're a part of that like condemns people for having children when they're in gay marriages, or says things like, you know, people that are of particular sexual orientations don't deserve the same equal rights. Well, would you say that that's something that's dangerous?
Well, a coalition is going to have all sorts of people in it. So, so it's like MAGA, if we were talking
ideological
about
diversity.
If we were talking about what MAGA is, what I like about MAGA actually is that it's not a specific set of you have to believe this exact set, right?
Right.
You have to believe
so
these exact
some people in MAGA can
things.
Believe like gay couples can have kids, and others can believe like that's degeneracy and those people need to be jailed.
Well,
those are like the difference of ideas.
Well, actually, the tough answer to that is yes. Do you want to talk about the trans issue sort of broadly?
Okay. Here's the thing. The reason this guy was kind of brilliant because he was talking about Dave, who is married to a man and who is they were showing what do you call that with the baby? Gosh, what I can't think about it. Not the amniocentesis. I forget. Anyways, they were showing the photo of the baby.
We're not
right?
the right people for this.
Yeah, so we're not the right people. I just forgotten about it. So anyways, and Dave Rubin cannot admit he won't talk about any of this with on his show or with his MAGA friends or any of that because he knows that he knows that they are going to slam him for it, that they don't believe in it. They don't believe that he should exist. They don't believe that he should be able to be married and have the same rights as they do. He knows that.
I don't know how he lives in this reality. I mean, he benefits from and monetizes the very division and the very hatred that he is benefiting from in society. So like he's basically using ideas in society that he benefits from to then divide people. For example, surrogacy is one of them, or at least at the very least, he works with people that are incredibly homophobic, incredibly divisive, allow him to monetize these types of issues, and then he goes and benefits from these issues that he tears down. It is conservative hypocrisy to a T, and it's pretty despicable. Like, what do you think about it as a gay man? Like, how do you feel about these conservatives who are in this environment where people genuinely hate them?
Lord, how much time do you have? Let me tell you this, okay? So, and just a true story, and then you can go back, because I've done interviews with Dave Rubin. I did interviews with him. I would appear on his show when he was a progressive liberal, and then he started going more into the libertarian thing, and then he became the sort of right-wing thing. He's saying that he's not, he is now. At least if he's not, he's playing into that, right? Which I think is worse than him actually being. If he's lying about it, which I tend to think he probably is.
Yeah.
So I knew Dave Rubin a long time. Dave Rubin had a show on SiriusXM used to have a gay channel. And he and his boyfriend, I don't know if they were married. No, they weren't married at the time. He and his boyfriend had a show and I would appear on the show because I was out and we would talk about issues and he would talk about, you know, what conservatives are doing and how they're treating, you know, gay people awfully and they're discriminatory and all that stuff. And then Dave Rubin realized that there was more money for him on the other side. As I always say, this is my opinion. It's always the shortest line to the front. And he realized that he could make millions of dollars on that. Now, I think that for me, if that is indeed what he's doing, again, that's my opinion, I think it's despicable. I think Dave Rubin is not a very bright person, as you can see from him trying to express things that there are no excuse for, make excuses for things for which there are no excuses, and there are no factual, they're not factual and they're not logical. So he has a tough time with that. I think he's duplicitous. And I think he should just be an out gay man and, you know, stop trying to make money off of, like Donald Trump, by co-opting people. I think he was asked about the money as well, that he, from the Russians, whatever, that there's a lawsuit. I don't know. That's what I think about as a gay man. I think it's despicable.
It's despicable, and it's the distortionary incentives of the current political environment. I've debated people on these debate shows who I know don't believe what they're saying. I know that if I got them completely off the record, they'd be like, yeah, this is some crazy stuff. But then they understand that they're playing to this audience.
No, no, no. It is. I have gotten them completely off the record.
Yeah.
For the decades, almost 2 decades I was at CNN, off the record, I'd go into the green room before. I'd come out of makeup. The green room was right there. And I would go, hello, Congressman, Republican, such and such. Thank you for being on the show tonight. I can't wait to have a discussion with you. It's going to be great. I think you're going to enjoy it. Yeah, you know, Don, I know you go hard after these Trump, and I can't stand the guy, but you know, yeah, it's terrible for us. It's terrible for our country. Or our woman, same thing. They would do the same thing. And then I go on the set and they go, hey, Donald Trump is the best president or the best candidate for president. I was like, and I'm like, what the hell? I have a Kellyanne Conway story. Kellyanne Conway led the super PAC for Ted Cruz, and she was so anti-Trump. It was unbelievable. She said Donald Trump built his business off the back of poor people and by taking advantage of people. She led his super PAC until Donald Trump became the nominee. He hired her to become his campaign manager. I didn't realize that at the time, but she just became a consultant for him. And so I was reading my notes before the show, and I'm like, and the thing said, Kellyanne Conway, Donald Trump consultant. And I said to the producer, hey, producers, are you listening to the control room? We need to fix Kellyanne Conway's introduction is wrong on my cards. It says that she's the Donald Trump, the surrogate or whatever. And then she looks down the line at me on the anchor desk and she said, no, that's right. And I said, oh, you were just on like 2 nights. Like, what? Okay.
Was that a formative moment where you're like, oh, shit, things are changing? Do you think there's like a collective cognitive dissonance among these people?
Yeah, it was a formative moment for me that it could happen so quickly.
Yeah.
The same thing with Kayleigh McEnany. Kayleigh McEnany, same thing. She realized that she got much more engagement from the audience, and she got many more TV appearances by being a Donald Trump supporter than she was by being anti-Trump.
She was never Trumper. Before?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. When I came, okay, tell this history because you often appear on CNN. There was a show. Well, first it was Piers Morgan, and then after Piers Morgan, it became me. But in the interim, for a minute there, they put a show. I think it had maybe one or two appearances or whatever you want to call it, and it was called Get to the Point. And they wanted someone who was a conservative, but who was attractive and who was young, right? They were looking for, like, you know, the female version of Adam Mockler. And so they got Kayleigh McEnany. Kayleigh McEnany came on like, oh, she's great. She's cute. She's, you know, she's glib and all that stuff is great. And then, but she was a never Trumper. But by the time they got around to Trump, she was a never Trumper. And then she realized, like, her Twitter engagement or social media engagement, she would get many more appearances when she would criticize Trump. And then she became a Trumper and then ultimately ended up going to become his White House press secretary.
It's crazy. A big problem. Wild. We saw this in real time. And you know what? This kind of leads perfectly to the title. What happens when MAGA is confronted by facts? This is a dynamic that we basically just laid out. These are people who, deep down to their core, whether it's Marco Rubio or like Kayleigh McEnany, are deep down probably never Trumpers, or at least they were a decade ago. Even J.D. Vance, all the people surrounding Trump, Elon Musk, these were all people who at some point had condemned him strongly. And then they realize that they can sell out, and then they realize they can sell out harder by lying and lying and lying. But what that does is back them into a corner where they have no like reality tests around them, no walls around them. So then before you know it, you're a Trump supporter, you're on air, and you're defending the 4 to 6 week Iran war, and we're like 12 weeks in. So I'm pretty sure a lot of them have backed themselves into corners. And that's what we saw with Dave Rubin when he couldn't answer any of the questions. That's what we saw with Jennings. That's what we see with all of these MAGA people, that dude that you were interviewing on the street right before. Maybe not him, he's not like a MAGA pundit, but these people back themselves into corners because they're living in a false reality. And then when they're confronted by facts, you oftentimes see that snapping, breaking moment.
Yeah. I appreciate you joining us. I had a clip of Dave Rubin on Iran, but I'm sure you have to go.
You won't suggest
that. If you want to hear it, if you have a minute or so, I'll play it for you.
Play it.
Here it is.
So let's start. Well, first off, the disastrous war, the quote unquote disastrous war that you're talking about, you're talking about a 40-day military operation that stopped an apocalyptic regime from getting a nuclear bomb and exporting terrorism throughout the world. We're now in an economic embargo of them, right? We've basically done a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. So to say it's a disastrous war.
We've done a blockade.
We did lose. Hang on. We did lose 13. We did lose 13 of our soldiers, and that is
and killed over
terrible.
200 children.
Well, things happen in war, right?
Yeah,
things,
yeah.
Well, things do happen in war. You can laugh at that. Hold on. Listen,
if Donald Trump wanted to prevent the Islamic Republic of Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, he could have just stuck with the Iran nuclear deal that he ripped up. Iran did not enrich past the 3.67. They didn't enrich past the 3.67% agreed upon in the JCPOA. They only got to 60% after Donald Trump left that deal.
I'm impressed with your talking. Points. You've got impressive talking points and you memorize them well. They're not correct, but I am impressed.
Facts are talking points.
First off, the Iranians admitted in the negotiations right before the war started that they were enriching past what they were allowed to. That's number one. Number two, can you agree or verify their claims? It's one thing to say, this is what we're doing, this is what we are agreed to, etc. But you have to be able to verify that. And the idea that we have people on the ground.
Adam, do you see the fact check on the screen there? Yeah. IAEA reports the U.S. analysis shows Iran did not enrich uranium beyond the JCPOA.
Look who's using talking points now.
It's facts are talking points. Look, when I interview people, you know, I'll say, well, I'm a journalist or whatever, and then I will give them facts like, well, did you know that they didn't actually enrich beyond? You're not a journalist. You're biased. And I'm like, facts are biased? I mean, what is Dave? Did he end his career? Or maybe that this will make him more famous among MAGA folks. I don't know.
This is some major projection here. As Dave Rubin is spewing out a bunch of talking points in his corner, he goes, "You're using talking points." Also, the Jubilees film, and then they release like 2 months, like a month and a half later. So he said we're 40 days into this war, but I looked it up. We're now 96 days into this war.
96 days.
Everything has aged poorly here. Things happen in wartime. Yeah, but when it's a war of choice that's made zero progress, like if Nazi Germany is invading a country and like we're trying to fight back, or if things happen versus Russia and Ukraine, that's one thing. But this is a war of choice from Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, in which the opening salvo of this war killed hundreds of schoolgirls. Things don't just happen in this. This is like a huge effing disaster.
Yeah. Adam, thank you, my friend. I'll see. I want to be in studio with you, and we'll do something. We'll collab or do something.
Let's do it. I really always enjoy these, and I look up to you a lot. I mean, I've been following your career for a while, so thank you so much for this, and thank you for the time. I appreciate this.
No, thank you. I appreciate you doing a service to the American people. Thank you, Adam Mockler, everyone. Woo! Plus, thank you, Adam. We'll see you soon.
You know what? It sucks to be bored, but when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.